too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Golf Lania 164. I think. I lose track. It's not golf season. It's football season now. Everything goes quiet. That's why I'm going to reuse that song, by the way, which is going to turn into a better song when I close at the end. Another Lord Huron gem, The World Ender. I'm going to reuse that song over and over again and tell her people listening to this podcast to recognize its greatness. But it's football season, and I'm watching this NFL game, and it's impossible to play showdown in any sport. I guess some people are pretty good at it. It's tough in golf. It's very tough in football. Fire up the Gus bus, please. Gus Edwards. Well, thanks for joining the show. It's a Sanderson Farms type week with the Scottish Open. Light week of golf until we get the Masters, really, in November. There's one time I was just thinking about starting this podcast as siren goes by in Lexington, shocker. 164 episodes, 164 instances of sirens in the background noise. It's unbelievable. I would say it's a coincidence, but there's something going on downtown Lexington every night. And I was, this story, starting this podcast, I was thinking to an event we were putting on, and they were using my laptop, an event for a client. Big event, huge event, downtown Lexington at the Hyatt. Hundreds of people, hundreds of sophisticated people, clinical-minded people, physicians. And my team was using my laptop for sound or to play the production we did. And what pops up by default on my MacBook? This podcast. Like episode 7. And people, it was just a sad state of affairs for this podcast. And the look on people's faces was just the horror. There's some lady in the back, some older lady yelled from the back, "Get this off!" And the people started attending to her as she fainted. That was I told Nathan that the other day. Do you remember that? That was one of the most, I think I kicked the MacBook across the room to make it stop. Nothing is worse than me listening to my own podcast, but then a group full of people who are sane and professional, it's even worse. What's even worse, by the way, on the Wednesday Periscope that I do every Wednesday, remind me that I can name any actor or actress's birthday within 6 months to 24 months. It is a unique skill of mine. You spit them out, I will get them. Within a relatively close period of time. The things that are frustrating, I'm not sure the word I used to set this up, but referees in sports in 2020, when as a professional sports league, you have hedged all your bets, no pun intended, on partnering with Gambling, gaming, fantasy sports, golf no exception. And you still have humans making absolutely trillion-dollar... Stop it, sirens! I just saw the ghost when I yelled at, by the way. I just saw Edwin. When you're making trillion-dollar decisions and putting those in the hands of one human set of eyeballs on the field at warp speed time to make decisions, it's... Look at an NFL. One holding call can cost a team, a better fantasy sports, trillions. Everything should be reviewed by a robot in real time. Everything. Don't get me started on baseball and Steve. Those clowns. Sorry if you're an umpire. I don't mean to isolate you. But the grandstanding and the showmanship of umpires, it, hey man, that was cool 50 years ago. We don't need that anymore. Just give us lasers and things that tell us the truth versus you kicking or having dirt kicked on you or cleaning the plate or doing that nonsense act when it's costing people who are investing in the game trillions of dollars. Who watches baseball? But then golf, the golf doesn't have referees per se, and I think you need that human element because the rules interpretations are some things that even players don't understand in this day and age. But volunteers are a huge part of the PGA setup, meaning that the scoring that you get on the ground, like it was for last week in the Dominican Republic, are all done by volunteers following the groups around with a iPad type device punching in the scores. ShotLink is completely different. That's run by different people and then, you know, sophisticated satellite towers. But the scoring part, when someone inputs a 4 on a par 4, are done by humans. And for the most part, it's done pretty well on the American side of the tour. But when you get to these remote or these islands, you get a lot more volunteers who are not don't have the familiarity with golf. As much familiarity with golf as do people in different areas of the world. And so, I mean, I've heard stories where people who are volunteering on a Korn Ferry Tour event, and I think it was Bermuda or Dominican Republic, that they didn't understand that a tee shot counted as a stroke. And so it happened this week with Chris Kirk in that he was minus seven. Everyone thought he was leading. People were betting first round leader bets. People were betting outright bets. And then the adjustment happened at the end of the game, at the end of the round, and his real score was minus one or something to that effect. So they took six strokes off, which I didn't think of at first. I thought, well, I'm always on the side of the volunteers who are, you know, offering their time and doing the best they can. But in this day and age of real-time decision-making and the partnership with fantasy and betting, et cetera, if that's going to be a mandate of these tours and these leagues, you've got to get it right. It's going to have profound ramifications if you do not. And on the people that watch. And so, and I think it was Megamind and Nelson Adcock came up with the idea of having satellite-based scorecards, which... You know, I'm not sure how realistic that is, but there needs to be some sort of collaboration between the score input by the volunteer or whomever is scoring and the player saying, yeah, that's a 4, versus not knowing a tee shot's a tee shot and everyone's holing out every par 4 or, you know, eagling every par 4. So that's it. So yeah, I think an investment. Listen, you can't hire a staff of people to do it right. That's why they have these volunteers and have to train them, and they get a free round of golf. They get a T-shirt or a golf shirt and a bag of, you know, Funyuns. But it's something that needs to be thought about and resolved, I think, in this future architecture of sports and gaming. And the umpiring stuff, I get it. I get it. It's a there's some nostalgia there, especially in baseball. And in hockey, I mean, yeah, a lot of things need to be sorted out on the ice. Like sometimes people punching other guys in the head. So, and a lot of the stuff in hockey is done, almost seems like almost everything's reviewed. But big-time penalties or offensive holdings in football, it's just, it can change the entire trajectory of a game. And humans get it wrong. There you go. All right, let's talk to Ryan. Short week. Let's just talk to Ryan and continue on with Golflandia through this fall swing up into the Masters. Let's get through it.
Cash rules everything around me. Queen, get the money.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Honesty Hour, did you watch any of golf last weekend?
I watched the last three holes.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, I was, yeah, I mean, I was obviously watching football and scrolling through, and I saw Swofford was up four, made a double, and made a bogey, and was tied. I said, sure. So, yeah, I watched the last three holes, saw he birdied 17, almost three-putted 18 to get into a playoff, but, yeah, it was good to see him win. He seems like a pretty good, genuine dude, and has had a lot of issues with, I think he had a shoulder injury for a while, but yeah, it was good to see him win.
It was interesting that some of the guys we talked about, Zhang did pretty well until he absolutely bottomed out in the final on the back nine. Yeah. And on the Euro Tour, classic finish for Aaron Rye and Jazz Jane wanted Anand.
Oh yeah,
second and third. And you know, so we casually spoke about these two guys on the Euro Tour last week, and then of course they come at it, and then Caitlin with another win,
prolific winner, John Caitlin.
Which we'll get to the Scottish in a second, but why not this week, right?
He's done it before.
If you're a form better,
he's won it. Yeah, he won multiple times. I think he went three times in a six event span on the Asian Tour. So why not?
Yeah. But we're at Sanderson Farms this week, the tournament with a, what is it, chicken trophy, rooster trophy?
Yeah, I think it's a rooster,
Something that they kill and eat. Not roosters. I don't know what it is. They make bacon, Ryan.
Not out of that animal, they don't.
No, they don't make bacon out of roosters. I was looking at my course notes from now, what, 3 or 4 years back. This is a relatively easy stop compared to other PGA Tour stops. Not terribly long. It's par 72. Easier routing. Rough is, you know, negligible, but what does rough matter anymore after the U.S. Open? Make it 10 feet. It doesn't fucking matter. It is a tree-lined parkland, so I have confirmed that with the people of Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, great.
Bermuda greens, and we've noticed this, have been pretty dry and fast in the last few years. Very firm, very fast. And so, yes, bombers can thrive, but look at Ryan Armour. Averaged 270s off the tee. A Peter Malnati. Then you had a Cody Gribble.
A what?
Whatever happened to Cody Gribble, by the way?
I mean, he was really, really bad for the most part.
But he was like a Wyndham Clark lefty. He hit the shit out of it. Was a very good putter. Everything in between was kind of pudding.
Yeah.
But overall here, it's a mix of winners. You know, you got your length and Gribble and Champ, and then your short plotters and Malnati and Armour. But all those guys, including Champ and Gribble and Malnati and Armour, were solid putters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at historically the success of this tournament, which you don't typically see. You see it really nailed with tee to green. You got pretty good putting stats. So did I nail it this week? Do you have anything more on the Sanderson Farm?
No, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Look, I mean, these opposite field, weak field, fall swing events are always going to be putting contests. It's just the way it is. You're going to have to make 23, 25, 28 birdies this week. But I do think this is a course that you can take advantage of with length off the tee. You know, we saw it with Cameron Champ last year. Like, I mean, you look at the top of the board here and you have Scottie Scheffler, right? He's a pretty good putter, but not anything that would blow you away. But like, I could see,
I can't believe the field actually, Ryan. Like,
I could see this
it's
guy
pretty good.
Well, yeah, this field is better than it has been. I guess that depends how you categorize Stenson and Sergio, but,
major winners.
Yeah. It's definitely not a bad field. Like, yeah, even guys like Ches Reavie, like, I'm surprised to see him here.
Right. Sungjae Im, why is he here?
He likes to play golf.
That's true.
Yeah. He should probably be the favorite this week, honestly. Like, I love Scottie Scheffler, but I think Im should be the favorite this week, personally.
Well, I just waited a lot of birdie making, par five scoring, Bermuda putting. By the way, thank you to Chris Durrell and his amazing sheets, Jager_bomb something on Twitter.
/NASCAR/Formula1.biz.
But he added Bermuda putting as a ranking stat on his sheets, which is completely legitimate. So now I can really add this to the model TM.
Good.
And then go to greensquare.golf for all your form history, course history, tour history, history. And you merge those things together to form a model, which is big for this podcast. And you know the first person, this model with all this amazing data from both greensquare.golf and Chris Durrell, Jager_bombs? You know what it spit out as number one?
Griot?
Charles Schwartzel.
Didn't even know he was in the
field. Hell, man. What?
I did not even know he was in the field, but I know that he's been putting the lights out, so.
Yes, and I think that's a large part of it. But I mean, the top 10 for this model TM, Charles, Doc Redman, Scott Harrington, Zhang up there again, pretty good price too. Mm-hmm. Bud Cauley, that's a good look. Vincent Whaley, Andrew Putnam, love Andrew Putnam. Cam Davis.
I love Cam Davis. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, I think that there is some pretty good pricing from the bomber maybe / really good putter narrative / former tour winners maybe overlooked. By the way, Jimmy Walker, 6,100. How far has he fallen?
It's weird, yeah.
Right. All right. So Andrew Putnam, I'm doing this on this podcast myself tonight. Are you watching the game or something? Assembling lineups?
I'm trying to figure out how you, found Jimmy Walker and Charles Schwartzel in this field.
I did not say I like them. I just say I saw Jimmy Walker at the very bottom at 6,100. And I thought Jimmy Walker, recent major winner at the Sanderson for 6,100. First of all, he's playing here. Second of all, he's 6,100, but he's still $100 more than Luke Donald.
Rightfully so.
But you've got some guys like Putnam, 6,500. I mean, Putnam and McCarthy are interchangeable to me. McCarthy, 7,900. He's a birdie machine, right? He could putt the daylight. Him and Putnam can putt the daylights out of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You got Wyndham Clark. We're not going to give up a Wyndham, but he is right-handed Cody Gribble. He is Cameron Champ minus. Hits it 320, great putter. In between, a little mashed potato-y.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But I think the value there, even a JT Poston, not getting respect at all. What was he, sub 4,000 at the U.S. Open? He's 7,500 here.
Yeah, he was down with the club pros, and he played like a club pro.
Not for the first bit. He got a birdie, I think, of the first couple of holes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
Take it away, Ryan. It's your microphone now.
I mean, there were a lot of guys you mentioned there that I think have some merit. I mean, it's...
Troy Merritt? Was that a pun?
No. It's such a bad field. Like, anybody who can get hot and make birdies and is a competent player, I think is live. You know, I think about these weak field, opposite field events, and one of the guys that I will play every single time is Robert Streb.
Yeah. Is Robert Streb Brian Stewart, are they interchangeable to you?
Robert Streb and Brian Stewart. I guess. Yes. I don't know. Stewart seems like he has a lot more upside than Streb.
Wow. But
I think Streb's just going to like make birdies and finish like T19 or T20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Brian Stewart could top five, top eight, like he did at Safeway, or completely flame out. So, yeah, I mean, anyone like that, I mean, I think you talk about a birdie maker who's a really good putter. Think about a guy like Bo Hostler. Could see him popping up this week. But I think your decisions have to be made at the top. I think there's a lot of guys here, and like not the very top where you have like M and Scheffler, but that next range down, and for people on the betting board, it's the guys between like 40 and 60. And like you look at guys like Burns, Long, Reavie, Redman, List. I think that's where you need to be different and you have to pick the right guys.
I think someone asked me my first three just off the top of my head looking at this field. I said Scheffler, Burns, Munoz because he won last year, but he plays so well.
Mm-hmm.
A little overpriced on DraftKings for me. I don't think he'd be play. I think he'd be very highly owned at all. But Sam Burns seems to fit the type of mold if you're going the Gribble champ, schematic here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right? He's a bomber, played well this year, really putts well.
Yep. I mean, he has every business of being in the top three or top five this week. He had a terrible Saturday last week. He shot like six over on Saturday, but still was top 30. He's played well here. So there's really no argument for Burns other than he's probably a little bit overpriced and he's going to be popular. You know, you can get a guy like Adam Long for less money. You can get a guy like Stenson for less money, right? Like,
yes, that one's really – you can get a major winning Sergio for $8,600.
Yeah.
Why is he here?
I have no idea. Both him and Stenson.
He doesn't need to be.
It's – yeah, I think it's kind of strange. But look, I think all these guys are going to be fairly popular, all the guys that we've been playing for weeks. And at this point, you know, they're pretty interchangeable, and I'm just going to take the ownership and the better players. Like, I think if I had to pick three from this kind of middle range that I'm going to target, like Stenson is for sure going to be one of them. I think Fratelli is going to be another one who's going to go overlooked in this range. And look, that's a proven tour winner. Like, he's a world-class player. I think he's better than the rest of them. And then for number three, I think you already mentioned him. Cameron Davis seems
big time,
very much underpriced. Like, he's, I think, 8,100. He should be in that same 89, 9K range as these guys.
Where do you put a guy like Corey Connors?
He's interesting. He's played well here, but he missed the cut last week. I don't really know why he's playing. He could use a break after the Tour Championship, but I think it's one of those things where he burned everybody last week, and you're probably going to see him at 8 to 10% owned.
Yeah, it might be a factor of get my tournament in, which is the bylaws of the PGA Tour. Get the tournament you haven't played in 4 years, like Ricky playing Mayakoba. As part of their mandate.
It's possible, but I think they also see the merit of playing these weak field events and trying to get a win. I mean, look at who made the Tour Championship. Munoz, he won the Greenbrier. Right. Neiman won something in the Fall Swing as well. Like, I think both of them won those weak events, and it carried them the whole season. So,
no, Munoz won this, Ryan.
Oh, that's right. He did not win the Greenbrier. He came close.
No, he had 11 strokes gained putting at the Greenbrier.
Yes.
Which first got us on to Munoz.
Yes, Neiman won the Greenbrier, right? And then Munoz. And then Munoz had won the Sanderson Farms.
There was no Greenbrier.
When did Neiman win it?
I don't know.
But they won these Fall Swing events, and that's how they got to the Tour Championship.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. I still can't believe that Ryan Rahmer won this in 2017,
you had
3 years ago.
By the way. Huh?
I did. I had in my notes. I had my picks and then who won. And I said Ryan Rahmer.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, wow.
This is easy.
2017 was a great year for me. It's been a three-year lull.
Yeah.
I'm going probably Sam Burns is from a betting perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm not pricing wise, still to be determined. I think Zhang still really stands out to me, even 8,000, which I think they've underpriced him. He's one of those guys who played well week to week to week to week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust the model with Charles.
I like it. Yeah. I think the Burns Redman list trio, I think those are going to be the most popular picks this week.
Yeah. I think Scheffler will be too. People try to squeeze him in.
Yeah. I mean, like them all.
He could win by 30.
Yeah. No, for sure. If he's healthy and playing well, yeah, for sure. I'm going to go different though. I'm going to take
Dog Redman.
I'm going to take Fratelli.
Wow.
I think he's got a great chance here.
Hot take.
And he's low.
Where are you in Zalatoris? Is he kind of the Ollie list? Love Mark.
He's better.
You know, darling.
He's better.
I know he's better, but, you know.
Yeah.
Is he?
He's definitely better. Okay. He's the full package. You know, he's not a great putter is probably the one thing, but like, I mean, he's led the Korn Ferry Tour in scoring average, total driving, greens and regular, like everything. It's actually shocking that he only won once. He has, I think, 13 straight top 20s and 10 of those are top 10s. Something like that.
He's 2,000 more than Sergio Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, yeah, he is probably a guy who should be down in that same range with like Burns and Redmond. So he's probably slightly overpriced, but I think people are going to hop off of him after, you know, what felt like a mediocre week last week, but then he shot 65 on Sunday to finish eighth. So it's just a matter of how much they weigh that finish.
To be clear, because we're all over the map. I'm a Zhang stan until I'm not. I'm going to go with Charles for the model. Mm-hmm. I think there's some decent putters. I mean, decent, world-class in Putnam at 6,500, who can be sometimes a good iron player. And Denny McCarthy, who seems to be a fantasy points leader week to week.
Yeah, this is absolutely a stars and scrubs week. I mean, you need to take four guys over 9,000 and two guys from the sixes. That's just what you have to do. And I think the guys at the top, they're pretty interchangeable. Like there's, you know, 8 to 10 different guys that I would play up there. So you just got to get the right two from below.
And Nick Taylor, 7,400. He won here, did he? Is this his win? Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a good putter.
Nick Taylor, fresh off his win at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, there's a couple guys down there that I think are pretty viable. You know, I look at see Jason Duffner down there.
No.
Kyle Stanley.
I love how you just slip that
Nate
in.
Nate Lashley.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of like you don't start every team with Kyle Stanley.
Yeah. Your guy Trahan, by the way, very much in play.
No, is he? how's your COVID going?
It's all right. Thank you.
Scottish Open. So we've got the Scottish Renaissance Club, North Berwick, Scotland. Very, very good field. Typically, this is a lead into the Open Championship. Green Square Golf, Mike's notes for this course. I kind of skipped his for Sanderson, but they probably mimic ours. Exposed, undulating, modern coastal links with a few forest land holes, not tree lined, forest land. Easy if the wind doesn't blow. It's Scotland. Of course it's going to blow. Par 71, 7,300 yards, lengthened by 200 yards since last year. Firm fairways and fast undulating green, sparse but challenging bunkering. The rough, some deep fescue, gentle grasses, longer than last year. This is an approach course, link skills, distance control, which some pro, when I said distance control once on Twitter, texted me and said, "You're an absolute moron loser. Every pro knows distance control." Long range weather forecast is cold, 46, 8 Celsius in Canada, and windy. Mm. So it's going to be windy.
It's a lot like last week. That's how it was last week. So,
right. And this field's good. I mean, you got Tommy Fleet. Wood at the top. You got your boy Matty Fitzpatrick. You got Burned, who won last year. I'm trying to recall this win by Burned last year.
Oh, you forget this one?
I was it the Scramble Fest?
Yes, but this is when Benjamin Hebert missed like 4 3-footers in a row to lose.
That was it.
Like, yeah, a 1 or 2 to win in regulation. The first playoff hole, he hit it to like 3.5 feet and missed. Yeah, he just gave this one away.
But he was in machine mode last year at this point, Burned.
Yeah, this was his third of 3 wins, I think.
You got Tommy Peters, Matt Wallace. It's a pretty good field. I mean, you got Caitlin coming in, like we said. In terms of form, he's untouchable. But how do you fare him in a Scottish Open?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, this is much more of a traditional links-style course, and I think kind of with the weather that we're going to see here, it's definitely going to play that way. So I'm just automatically going to default to good links players, plotters, British guys, you know, pretty much what we always do.
I would say Lee Westwood, but I've never had success with Lee Westwood.
Yeah, probably not to win. You know, I could easily see him grinding out a top 10, top 20, but yeah, I just don't like him to win.
I know you're going first, by the way. Go ahead.
I don't think you do.
Jordan Smith.
You do.
Am I right?
Yes. I just thought that was a bad price. You know, he's been playing really well. He was close to number one in ball striking last week. He lost strokes putting, but again, that's pretty normal for him. But he's been 35, 40 to 1 most weeks. And with the field here, he's boosted up to 66. I'll take that. So, yes.
Brandon Stone.
Yes. Smith is definitely one. Stone's been very hit or miss. Probably not where I'm going this week. I like Justin Harding. I don't know exactly how he'll play on this style of golf course. Missed the cut last year, but he's been pretty good of late. A couple close calls. I think he was close to the top 10 last week. And I just feel like it's the type of course he can play well at. So there's not a lot to support that. I just like Justin Harding. One guy who I like as a long shot, this name will sound very familiar to you because he's my guy, is Gagley. He is 150 to one. He was close to the top 10 here last year. He obviously had a great chance to win Valderrama a few weeks ago before he shot like 80 on Sunday. He still finished 10th, and he had another top 10 about a month ago. So he's in pretty good form. I think he's overdue for a win. He's just such a bad putter that, like, it kind of limits his upside. But, you know, hopefully that will neutralize this week.
Yeah, I kind of on the same wavelength. I don't know. It's hard to read. Lagergren's been playing well. Caitlin mm-hmm. on form alone. You got Hebert coming back. I do not trust that again.
No.
Katsia is playing really well. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys at the top, like, I've heard a lot of talk about Matt Wallace this week. I think he'll be fine. I just don't see a win. Like, look, if Fleetwood plays well, he's going to win. If Fitzpatrick
plays
well.
Does anyone yell their caddy more than Matt Wallace, by the way?
No.
He's very yelly.
Yeah. I mean, I think Fitzpatrick's due for a win. I think Peters is obviously due for a win. Hell, why can't mm-hmm. Rasmus win again? Why can't Horsfield win again? Like, I mean, those guys have been so good. It would not shock me to see them up there again.
Credit to the Golflandia podcast for calling out Jazz Jane Wanadanon in his third place. And he's still, I mean, he's 55 to 1, 66 to 1.
Yeah, he's definitely in
Cat
play.
Cat can play, man.
He's very streaky. So, like, I mean, he's been so bad for a while. Maybe last week can kind of inspire him. What about your guy, Lucas Herbert?
Nope.
No?
I was told never to touch him, ever. And I won't. By Australians.
That's sad.
That's sad. Yeah. I'm going to go down the list here. I'm going to go here, deep look that no one would ever think of. And I've got two names. I got your Jordan Smith. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's certainly not Nino Bertaggio. I'm not going to go there.
No.
But a Maverick Antcliffe?
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Maverick, I forget when it was probably Josh Perry, honestly, probably about a year, year and a half ago. He got me on a Maverick Antcliffe kick. He's no Jake McLeod, but, you know, he's pretty good. And yeah, back-to-back top 10s, like, all right, I'll take that for a couple 100 to 1. Why not?
All right. So completely difficult week on both sides. Mm-hmm. Both sides of the continents in this world, North America and wherever Scotland is.
I believe it's Europe.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a list by Wednesday will figure this out. I have no clue right now.
Yeah, I mean,
Liao Tong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just scrolling through the top of this board, and I'm like, I have no idea any of these guys can win.
No, I can't do it with Sanderson either.
Yeah, well,
everyone can win.
Everyone can win. Yeah, I'm good with Fratelli over there. I think I'm just trying to pick one of these guys near the top of the board.
Scheffler.
I have no fucking clue. I guess Peters. I just think he's due. I mean, he played great at the U.S. Open. Just had a bad Sunday. Yeah, Peters. Sure, why not?
Let's do this, Ryan. I think we do APW this week. Always play Wallace. Wallace Scheffler.
There you go. I think that could work.
It's Wallace week.
It could be
1,000%. It's Wallace week. It's staring me right in the face.
He's going to be popular.
That's it. Yep. That's the win.
All right.
All right. Good luck in showdowns.
So dead. There's still time for fourth quarter showdown, right?
How many yards does Gus Edwards have?
I believe he has three. Six. Gus Bus.
Later. Yep. All right. Until 165. Listen, I have these premonitions once every 30 years. It's Wallace week. It's staring me in the face. Always play Wallace. Matt Wallace, Scottish Open. Can't not go with Scheffler, although Zhang's been playing great. But Charles, top of the model. Let me just name every player on the PGA Tour. I'll get it right. Scheffler, Burns, Zhang, Charles. That's what's up right now. But Matt Wallace, single him out, folks, until number 165. Is that what's after 164? 164 plus one. That's it.